Excuse me, miss. What's that you're listening to?
Well, it's a podcast. It's all about this couple from England who are in a lifestyle, and they talk about their adventures.
So is that child-friendly, then, is it?
No. They say lots of naughty things, and they swear a lot. But would you like to listen?
Get in the gym or to your car. With our advice, you could go far. Fuck things up and we make mistakes. Talk about our sexy dates. It's getting hard for this to rhyme. Just as well, cause it's bed hopping time.
Welcome back to the Bed Hoppers. This is episode number 44. Over there, looking pretty with a brand new haircut, is
Mrs. H.
There we go. You liked that one, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I'm Mr. H. My haircut has been last done 2 weeks ago. There's approximately a week and a half before I get my next haircut.
You are approaching a critical haircut meltdown.
I've trimmed the beard a little bit today, but I've not properly maintained it today.
But don't worry, we're all relieved that you've now booked the pre-holiday haircut.
I have booked the pre-holiday haircut, yes. It's in the diary. You've penciled it in.
But
using...
not with your favourite lady.
My favourite lady isn't there.
I know.
How dare she have a holiday just before I'm about to have a holiday? My biggest holiday of the year. That's terrible. So you have, that's like the most possibly middle class thing that we've said today. After we'll have the avocado with toast, please.
Yes, that's yes, and bacon. Middle class, wasn't it?
So, the biggest holiday for us or for me this year, and the lady what does my hair isn't available for when I need it. So I'm therefore going through hair crisis time.
I mean, you might as well just cancel the holiday.
To be fair, I did think about that.
That was your first reaction. I'm just going to cancel the trip.
I know. I'm starting to ask friends if they know of any hipster barbers in Australia or Singapore. I mean, at the very least, I demand a flat white while I'm getting my hair cut and someone who has at least a man bun in the place at all times. If someone can be in the corner sat typing on their MacBook, writing their play or novel whilst drinking the flat white and having a tiny dog that sits on the shoulder, that... You know,
maybe eating some smashed avocado.
Yeah, that would be good. And if they
it
rode
has to be
their,
on sourdough artisan.
Artisan bread. And they should have rode some sort of unicycle or one of those...
Definitely.
Have a penny farthing style bike while they get there.
No, you just need to get a meaningless sort of tattoo somewhere.
What?
Yeah.
I have a meaningful tattoo.
Yeah, you know, get a meaningless one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like a fake Japanese symbol for peace.
Yeah, but it's actually a Chinese takeaway.
Yes, it's like item number 63.
Pork balls, please.
Yeah. So welcome back to our show. Thank you for downloading us once again. Hopefully this will go out on time, but it may not do. So if it is late, then we're sorry. But if it goes out on time, we totally nailed it and it was totally intentional.
Brilliant.
Yes. Hooray! Right. See you next week. Bye. Easiest show ever. I didn't even have to say anything. I know. You rarely do, to be fair.
I know.
It's just so easy, these shows. We're just knocking them out now. And, you know, tune in next week, guys. Bye. And all that. No? Okay. Fine. So, what are we talking about this week? Well, actually, before we go into this week, because I think this week and our special feature... This is a special feature. No, don't play the thing yet. Hold fire.
I thought you were going to write some music for your special features.
What? No.
Or do you just not have enough special features to warrant writing a jingle?
I'm just too lazy to write any more music right now. I'm busy having...
Being so hipster.
Yes. I mean, being this hipster takes time and practice and patience.
Yeah. Mm.
So what have we got coming up first before we descend into what's been and what has happened?
Well, we got a pretty big holiday coming up.
Woo!
In case, you know, we hadn't mentioned the excitement of a hipster haircut.
Well, so we are going to Swingapore.
Swingapore? You could have said Singapore, maybe?
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Doesn't sound so good.
That doesn't sound good, because the next line is we were going to stop and see Kate and Daryl from Swinging Down Under.
All right, well, definitely Swingapore then.
Yeah.
Not Swingapore.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very nice at all.
Oh, I just made up a new one, Swingapore. I didn't mean to say that.
That's what?
I know.
That's what you just said.
No, I said Singapore the first time.
Swingapore.
And then I said Swingapore.
Oh, really? You combined them?
Yeah.
In a fit of creativity. Well, you're going to be spent now for the rest of the show.
There's nothing creative about it,
well,
trust
I know
me.
That.
It was just a fucker.
It was like an infinite number of monkeys on a keyboard. an infinite number of keyboard cats bashing away on their MacBooks whilst drinking
monkeys.
Their flat whites.
I hate monkeys.
That's why I said keyboard cat.
Yeah. All right, cool. Anyway, we're going to Singapore.
Swingapore. Mm-hmm. Stopping in to see Kate and Daryl for a few days.
Yeah.
Which would be nice. They're going to give us all the tour and...
drink all the wine.
Yes. I've seen on Twitter that they have got wine for us.
I've seen a sneak preview of just what I'm assuming is going to be just the provisions for the first day, really.
Yeah, I mean, well...
didn't like to say anything, but they might want to get some more in.
Well, I think we'll be bringing some bubbly in with us, because it'd be rude not to.
Yeah.
Just travelling bubbly, not the good stuff.
Oh, God, no.
Just the regular stuff that we've picked up in an airport.
Just the travel bubbly.
Yes. Mustn't forget the travel bubbly, dear.
No.
No, terrible. So we're stopping in with those guys for a few days.
Yes.
So that's going to be really fun and great to catch up with them again.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to Australia.
Australia.
And seeing loads of friends.
seeing loads of friends.
Yeah, we're seeing Naughty and Rocket, and we're seeing By the Bye, mm-hmm. by Fred and Angela there. And we're seeing some other people that we haven't met before.
Yeah, hopefully friends what we have not met before, who will become friends.
Is it you're going to start singing A Stranger's Just a Friend You've Never Met?
Oh, what's that song? I don't know it.
Okay, let's move on swiftly.
Probably is that the song I should know?
A Stranger's Just a Friend You've Never Met.
Is that from a film?
I think it is, yeah.
Maybe I'll listen to it on my new earphones.
Your new earphones.
Because Mr. H treated me to some new fandangled headphones for my very long flight.
I think you'll find Mr. H has treated the fuck out of you over the last week.
Well, yeah, but this is my
latest. Else have you had this week?
What else did you get me?
What else did I get you?
Oh, I know what you got me.
Oh, really? What did I get you?
You might have got me a new toy.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
And some sexy underwear.
Yeah.
There we go.
But mainly a new toy.
Fine, we'll talk about that. Perhaps on a... We've got to give it a few more goes first. We've given it a test run.
Pause the show, let's go.
What? No. This is show time now.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right.
Or we can get the toy out and play with the toy whilst we're recording.
No, it is a quiet toy.
Is it?
I might be using it now.
Really?
I'm not.
How many loud toys do you know?
Well, lots of toys are loud.
Are
this
they?
Is not a loud toy.
Okay. Does it have speech in it? Like, hello, please love me.
I did not want a toy that talks to me.
Please put me in your most intimate of places.
That is revolting. That's like having
it
Siri
is pretty
as a
dark
sex toy.
In here.
What does it say to me?
It is pretty dark in here. Moisture levels increasing.
Right, that's enough. This sex toy is rubbish. I'm not going to buy it.
Ooh, you like that, don't you?
This is like the Stephen Hawking's of sex toys. This is not good.
I am really turning you on.
This is strangely compelling.
Really? So anyway, we'll talk about the sex toy later on. That's going to that'll be like...
I can't get this out of my head now. Stephen Hawking's sex toy.
You can't. He's gone.
The voice of Stephen Hawking.
He's gone to join the Choir Invisible. He's an ex-parrot. You can't speak ill of the dead. His wheelchair, on the other hand, now that thing you could turn into a sex toy.
Oh, good. Look, right, move on.
Please push one.
No.
Okay. Fine. Mm. Right. So we go to Australia, and then on the 10th of May we have a.
Oh, a meet and a mingle.
Yes, that
is right. Did I get that right?
You did get that right. Now,
yeah.
So you can meet us. You can meet the A Slut podcast, I think.
Yeah.
And you can meet the By the Bye podcast. And you can meet Kate from Swinging Down Under.
And is there someone else?
No, I think that's it.
Oh. Are we sure?
I think it's like four podcasters going.
Okay.
So, and that's for lots of podcasters, including us.
All right, cool. Well, loads of people sign up. It'd be great.
We're going to be there. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. By its very nature, us being there will make it fab.
Yeah.
I can't back this up
in
the slightest. No, okay. It's fine. And it's going to be like a week into the trip, so I'm going to have eaten and drunk my way through. I'm not going to be in the best physical shape of my life at that point. It'll be fine. I'll just
I'll
be
requ- something like shapeless.
Shapeless. I'm going to wear this potato sack.
Yeah.
You'd still look great in a potato sack.
Aww.
Oh, I'd love to get you in the potato sack.
God. Well, mashed potato at the moment.
But how do people, wife, sign up to this?
I've got no clue.
Because you're drinking.
Mm-hmm. No, I just don't know.
No, okay. Well, you go to www.oursecretspot.com.au.
Oh, so you did know.
I do know, because I wrote it down. Like a clever, tricksy hobbit.
Uh-huh. It's your job to know these things.
Well, it's my job to write it down, because there's no hope of you being able to tell us.
Well, on the subject of writing things down... Now, don't you think we had a really funny conversation recently about me writing things down?
Yes, we did have a very funny conversation about you writing things down.
All right, okay. Am I not allowed to talk about that yet?
Well, what about you writing things down?
No, about why I was writing things down.
Why are you writing things down?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm such a Luddite and I won't download technology, but it helps me.
Okay. So not only are you giving away conversations that may or may not appear in our
Didn't
special
feature.
Didn't
say who they were with. Give me the look.
So if you don't say who it's with, you're not giving it away.
Correct.
Fucking hell, this is going to be... It's like saying at the end of Infinity War, like, lots of people die and this person...
Well, I would never give spoilers like that away.
Yeah, well, you're giving spoilers away right now.
No, I'm trailblazing things. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? Trailblaze?
Like something like that.
Nailed it.
You're like a cross between Star-Lord and a cowboy.
Wow, that is some combo.
You're like a cross between Fergie and Jesus. I can't even look at you right now.
Well, yeah.
You have the voice of an angel.
I do. I absolutely do. You're right.
So anyway, we're going to Australia. Please come see us. It'll be really nice. And then I think we may be... So we're doing a little bit of a wander around Australia.
Mm.
One might even say a walkabout, but I think that might be...
Oh, that's good.
No, it's probably not. It probably has some sort of cultural connotations, the likes of which I'm unfamiliar. Yeah. So we're going to walk around Australia.
Yes, we are.
We'll mostly be driven, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this.
We'll catch trains and
we're going to go drink some wine. We're going to go see people.
Yeah, so we'll be going to Sydney. We're going to Melbourne.
Yeah.
And we're also going to sort of Perth.
Perth.
Yes, so we're going to be perthing around, doing something up there.
Perthing around.
Yeah, there may be some level of meet and greetiness. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's far too organised for me. I'm not the one who does that sort of stuff. Like, you know, I'll go, but, you know, I won't organise it because that involves a level of work.
Yeah.
And I'm inherently lazy, so okay. And you know, it's fine. Maybe you could organise that bit of the journey.
Aren't you dumpy, eh?
Wife, take this down.
No.
Walk and talk with me. That's a power move. I like the walk and talk.
I'll write something down for you.
Alright, that's the only way that we're going to remember it, I suppose, isn't it? So, what are we talking about this week? Apart from what we've got coming up, because that'll get quite boring if we just talk about what's happening. So, what has happened? Well, last week, 2 weeks ago? In the last episode. We talked about having some awesome, sexy, fun guests staying with us.
And I tried really, really hard not to give away any spoilers and secrets.
Did you? Did you really?
I did.
Okay.
And I achieved that.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay. So who stayed with us?
Kate and Daryl.
From?
Swinging Down Under.
Oh, look at you getting all these questions right.
Right, thank you.
So they stayed with us.
Yeah.
And so I picked them up from the airport.
You did.
I don't know, like Sunday night or something?
Yeah.
So what we found is that they actually flew into Gatwick Airport, right?
Yeah.
And I found out that they could have flown into the airport that is just 5 minutes from our house in Southampton.
Could have done.
So I'm not angry, guys. I'm just disappointed. So we had a nice, I had a nice 2.5 hour journey in the car with them, driving them around. Like, if you think, what was his name? Parker. Yes, m'lady. From Thunderbirds.
I do.
Papa Parker.
Yeah.
Driving them around while they lived it up like kings with the drinks that we'd provided them.
That's right.
In the back of my car.
Yeah.
Which is good. And then there were a whole load of road diversions and all sorts of things.
It sounds like you had quite the road trip.
It was quite the road trip. It was wonderful to see them and wonderful to catch up with them. And I had lots of opportunity to just chat away and that's it.
I'm assuming you didn't spend the entire trip just in your car chatting.
Yeah, we did. That's what we did.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's the whole trip of them being down.
Right.
And then literally I drove them around for 2 hours, dropped them back off the airport and then they went home. It was really quick, really
Brilliant.
Efficient. Yeah, it was really nice. But no, we managed to get them home.
Yes.
And they stayed at our house for not only a day, 2 days in fact.
Met the really angry chihuahua.
They met Yoko.
Yeah.
I think there was definite a friendship there.
I think so.
With them, yeah.
Yeah.
With the dog. I mean, we like them as well, but,
yeah.
You know, But the dog liked them as well, and I think the dog missed them when they went.
Yeah, yeah, I think she definitely did.
Mm, there was like a meeting of minds somewhere along the lines. So that was really nice. And then we had some drinks that night.
Oh my God, we had some drinks. It was a school night for me.
Well, it was a school night for me. I was working the next day, but I was working from home.
Mm.
And I was able to be a little bit flexible with the amount of work that I did the
flexible.
Following day.
Flexible.
What? I had at least one
it's
teleconference.
A loose term.
No, it's fine.
Oh, so the plethora of pictures that followed the following day with you guys all hanging out in various places.
What?
Hmm.
That's not
flexible
true.
Flexible is definitely the terminology I would use.
Well, that's not true in the slightest.
Go
you can't
on.
Back that up. You can't back that up at all. So I got to spend some nice time with
yes,
them.
Yes, you did.
Following the card, I got to spend some great time with them wandering around the streets of our hometown, going from bar to bar and checking out some of the local sites.
And it was unseasonably warm.
It was.
For the UK,
yet they were still fucking freezing.
Which is hilarious.
Get some coats, guys.
Yeah, we were like, this is baking hot. Oh my God.
There's me sweating my nuts
yeah.
off.
They're like, it's so cold here.
So we went to some really nice places, chilled out, which is really
yeah.
cool. And then we eventually caught up and went out for a meal when you got home.
Mm-hmm.
And that was nice. Some nice little tapas.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to explain more? Or am I just
a bit of a tapas?
Just generally. Am I just? am I driving this today? Am I?
Well, I mean, I can remember what we ate because I always remember what we eat, but. No.
Okay.
No,
fine.
No. It was really, really great to see them. And then we, I believe they went on another leg of their journey.
Hang on.
What? You asked me to explain what happened next?
Yeah, but I thought you were going to like talk about some of the cool YouTube stuff we saw.
Oh, yeah, we did watch some crazy shit on YouTube.
It descended a little bit into a YouTube evening, which is always good fun.
Ah, we got to show them one of my favourite YouTube clips ever.
Oh, yeah. Which one's that?
Well, I don't know who does this particular clip, but I do know that it's called Can You Quack Like a Duck?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which sounds like a delightful little children's kind of show. It's not kids friendly.
But when it has the, can you shatter my chest for good luck?
That's
bit.
That's the one.
Yeah?
Can you quack like a duck when you suck?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Can you quack like a duck when we suck?
That's the one.
Yeah. Can you fart in my balls when we fuck?
Yeah, you know the words.
I know, because we watched it about 8 times.
It's great.
It's a mystical little wonderful clip.
It's
with all the innocence of a children's program.
In the title. It's this weird, like, beardy, long-haired guy that's in a yard in somewhere in the States.
And you'll remember, gentle listeners, when we talked about Mrs. H telling us about
oh,
anything.
Yeah.
She's actually going to talk you through the whole clip.
I'm really not. You should Google it and look it up. It's great.
And then he moves his right foot forwards. No, no, it's his left foot.
Well, no, wait. Okay, so this guy is not wearing very many clothes. He's wearing some crazy, like, 3/4 length white sports socks and a kind of...
I don't think you need to give away any more.
No?
I think...
Should I just leave it hanging with the socks?
Just go to YouTube, type in quack like a duck,
yeah.
and you'll find it. Don't do it at work.
Oh, God, no, don't do it at work.
Don't do it at work. And they in turn, so we exchanged this particular clip with them, and they exchanged some weird spam cooking thing.
Spam chili bowl?
Spam chili bowl, where
chili
a chap
yeah,
makes
crazy.
Spam chili bowls, which I still get a little bit nauseous thinking about.
It's really bizarre.
I think it was a bit of a YouTube off in a way. But that was really nice. It was really good fun.
Yeah.
So then they went and did, they had a few days just going to London,
yeah.
chilling out, checking out the sites.
Being cold.
Yeah, mostly dealing with rain and snow.
Oh, yeah.
And cold
was
winds.
Crazy weather, wasn't
it? And all that stuff. So that was, you know, that was fun. So then we caught up with them on
the Friday.
On the Friday. Now, we'd booked to go to a venue with them without them. Well, we let Daryl know where we were going,
yeah.
but we didn't let Kate know where she was going.
She wanted to keep it.
She wanted a surprise.
Yeah.
So we took a cab. Well, we went and saw them at the apartment
mm-hmm.
they rented, which was really cool.
Great.
Really nice.
Drank a bottle of champagne.
Yeah, because it would be rude to not have a bottle of champagne. He says,
yeah.
not able to get the words right out of my mouth
mm-hmm.
in true Meatloaf style.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we jumped in a cab and went to, firstly, it pulled up outside fortuitously.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have planned this better, even if I had tried. A bar that literally has tabletop games and board games and stuff upstairs, like thousands of the fuckers.
Oh yeah, loads.
And downstairs were all free arcade machines and old video games and retro games. And they also served cocktails.
Oh my god, the names of the cocktails were
amazing.
You had
a Pokemon cocktail.
I did.
I had a Street Fighter.
You did.
I think Kate had a Street Fighter. I think Dow had a Resident Evil.
Yeah, I mean, there was
He had to inject it with...
Yeah, he got a syringe of weird stuff to inject.
There were two syringes, like Resident Evil, like where you combine the different like blue and green or whatever they are, and then that made the drink. Anyway, it was really cool, and the drinks were really good. So we had a couple there, and
we got bags of sweets for them as well.
We did get bags of sweets, but we also played Street Fighter.
Yeah.
I am the winningest at Street Fighter.
So it would transpire, yeah.
Yes.
I did not play any games because I'm shit.
Well.
And I was quite happy just like
sitting watching, drinking, yeah.
Yeah. Drinking my Pokeballs.
and that was really good fun, actually. That if we'd have just gone to that place alone, I think that would have been a great night.
Yeah, absolutely.
However.
But we had a surprise.
We had a surprise. We went to a place called The Cauldron. Now, The Cauldron is an unofficial Harry Potter bar.
Should we call it the Barry Trotter bar?
Maybe. I think that's probably the nicest way of putting it.
It's very unassuming from the street level. It doesn't really look...
It just looks like a shop front, doesn't
it? Yeah, it doesn't look like much at all.
So you go in and it kind of looks a bit like it's got like a sort of fake castle-y kind of wall thing on the inside.
Yeah, there's lots of like ivy going up the walls and
it's not
bits of smoke everywhere.
Really clear where you're at.
No, it's not.
So, while I was sorting out the tickets, because you have to book tickets, and you get like a table for a couple of hours.
Yeah, so we'd already pre-booked and paid for that, hadn't we?
So Kate was looking at the wall and just sort of checking
like
it out.
Like prodding things,
prodding
basically.
Things, yeah, basically investigating, not really knowing where she was. When the woman that served us sort of bestowed upon us the wand. And you get, between two people, you get one wand.
Yes.
There being four of us, we got two wands, obviously.
Presented in a lovely box.
And it's presented in a wooden box, and you get your wand. And they all speak as though they are from Harry Potter as well.
They do. And they're all donned in, like, cloaks and stuff, aren't they, to look like witches.
Here art thou wand. Yeah. Protect it with thine, you know, whatever, lest there be a fine of £50. You know, and it was very, very Hermione Granger.
It was.
At which point, I think Kate realised what we were doing. Yeah. And I think there was a losing shit moment, which was beautiful. Which
I'll
actually,
treasure that.
Yeah, that melted my heart.
Aww.
That was lovely. So we got to go downstairs into this. Basically, it's like a Harry Potter
like
style
a potions
schoolroom
classroom type thing.
Yeah, like a potions classroom. And on your table, there's a suite of different objects, and you can interact with them with your wand. When you put the wand next to them, the light goes on, stuff flashes, all sorts of things
there's
happen.
It's like a little centrifugal thing.
And so we had to make... we got one cocktail from an interactive animal head, I guess.
Yeah, there were four interactive animal heads
like
mounted
houses.
At the back. And yeah, like the four Harry Potter houses, I guess. But they obviously were not referenced. And she gave us this convoluted explanation of what each drink had. So we had to choose a drink based on the kind of character of the animal.
Yes. Yes. So if you like drinking courage, you have, I don't know, like a dragon or something.
Yeah.
It was like...
And there was like a unicorn type one, which obviously I chose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it was like a nice little drink.
Yeah, it was cool.
While they bring you stuff.
There was a plasma globe on the table, which I could not leave alone.
No, I know that. So... There's that, and that was activated by the wand, and there was a little, I think.
That was going the whole time, the plasma globe. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I just kept my hand on it the whole time.
So then you chose, out of about five different potions, which two you wanted to make. And
so you both got to make two on each
pair.
Yeah.
So Darren and I decided that the girls should work together on this, because clearly they were freaking the fuck out that they were in a Harry Potter bar. Seriously, if I heard Wingardium Leviosa one more fucking time. But... What really made me laugh? So they bring out the crate and cauldrons and all sorts of little ingredients.
Oh, that was a really nice touch there.
And
the bottles.
You follow a thing and you've got to turn it clockwise 12 times and turn it anti-clockwise 5 times.
Yeah.
And then you've got to do a magic spell. Daryl and I took this less seriously.
Yeah, you had a very laissez-faire approach to your potion making.
There was a level
of... You were just chucking shit in bottles.
That was pretty much what you had to do.
Well, that's why your cocktails were significantly...
Awesomer. Cared less, got more. It worked for me.
We followed our instructions to the letter.
I'm sure
that
you did.
And they were phenomenal.
I'm sure that you did.
We did.
I know that you both did, because it took you like 40 minutes to make one fucking cocktail. Like, you were so into it. that literally I thought that somebody was going to get our time turner, turn back time and do it all over again just so you could get 99% right in a test on it.
To be fair, it was a really cool little bar. You had to like muddle things like chilies and all sorts, and then people would come over and set fire to your ingredients for you, and it was really well done.
There were really nice moments as well where you put your potion or your cocktail on one of these little boxes, stands that were there, and then you'd tap your wand to it, and it looked like it had a bit of fruit in it, but that fruit actually stirred the drink by itself.
Very clever.
There was loads of little cool moments like that.
I liked those little touches, they were great.
And then they brought out like a time turner clock thing and put it in your glass, and then it starts smoking stuff.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
It was really cool.
It was really cool, and even I was quite impressed with some of it.
That was a good 2 hours.
There was a little bit of acting in there. Where you had to stand, you know, hold your hand up with your wand in the air, and they'd be like, "Oh, how can I help you, student?"
I just want some ice.
ice. So we did that, and that lasted, I don't know, about an hour and 20 minutes or something out of our 2 hours that we had. And then you've got the table to yourselves for a period. So you've got it for 2 hours. So we get told that we've got another, half an hour, 40 minutes left. And basically, you can use it to order the different cocktails that they have available that they make. And these are very showy. And that they'll bring it over and they'll light it on fire. There'll be sparkles. There'll be smoke. And then we discovered the shooters.
Oh, this was probably my undoing.
Well, you say it was undoing.
A rapid descent into madness then.
Yeah, I think there was a one-track speedway to...
Focus.
To drunk bedhoppers and very merry... Swinging down under us.
I was going to say, come on, we are not alone here.
No, we definitely were not alone.
We were all culpable.
I think we had about 5 or 6 rounds of shots.
Too many.
Yeah, maybe. It was cool though, because the shots not only sort of glowed, but they had smoke coming out of them, and they tasted really good.
They had a captive audience.
And of course, we're all wearing cloaks as well.
Which was great.
Which is cool. And we've still got the wands, and we're still clearly having a ball with all of this. And it did descend into a bit of madness.
Yeah, it did.
And then by the time that we left and went back to the arcade bar, there were levels of naughtiness starting to creep in, I'm going to suggest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think there was a level of naughtiness.
Maybe.
You might have been...
There might have been some tomfoolery.
Yeah, there might have been some tomfoolery. So we were supposed to check out Le Boudoir that night. That was the plan.
That was, you know, best laid plans and all that.
Did we make it to Le Boudoir?
No.
No. There we go.
But did we have a way awesome time anyway?
Did we have a way awesome time? Yes, absolutely.
There you go then.
Did we have a sexy time?
Yeah.
I think we did.
Yeah.
Do we want to tell any of those details?
No, we do not. No, of course not.
We're not going to reveal any of those. Other than a couple of minor details, which I feel are important to tell.
Oh, really?
Somebody lost an earring.
Okay. That might have been me.
That might have been you.
My Deathly Hallows earrings.
Yeah, I know they were your Deathly Hallows earrings. But
is it because I told you all like 100 times that I lost my earring?
Yes. You kept asking us, where's my earring? Where's my earring?
I think
you descended into a very drunk phase and then came out of that moment and then completely had no idea what had happened.
I blame those shooters.
You blame those shooters. Mm. Well, you couldn't remember where that had gone.
No. All right.
And there may have been a little moist moment, dear.
Oh, that's a horrible word.
Oh, I know it is. But you were very concerned as to why the bed was wet.
Wow. Yeah, and you all kept pointing the finger at me.
Yes.
And then they went and changed duvets. So that we got... Yeah.
So you certainly had a sexy time. I think it's safe to say. We all
but then I got stuck in a perpetual loop of, why is the bed wet? Where's my earring? Why is the bed wet?
Yes. Until Daryl and I went out to get pizza.
Oh, that was a bold move. That was great. Well done. That was good.
That was very good.
Well played, sirs.
And then we spent 20 minutes chatting up the waitress.
Yeah, you did, in the apparently. Pizza place. You didn't bring her back with you, didn't you?
I think we were very close to bringing her back.
Fine.
Yeah, we could have lifted her up and just carted her there, but that seemed unfair. I mean, it was only across the road. But we also had pizza and we knew which you'd prefer.
The pizza. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Followed by the lady, probably.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
If I could have had both.
Well, yeah, we could have got her to carry the pizza, but it felt a bit rude, really. So then the next day, we just spent a really nice, chilled out day with them.
Yeah, just nursing our hangovers.
By drinking more.
We did start drinking more again. But, you know, sometimes you've got to get back on the horse.
Got to get back on the horse. So while they were there, or with us,
yeah,
what we should have done is recorded an episode with them.
Oh yes, we should have done that. But frankly, everything descends into madness, so.
So with that in mind, we really wanted to cover the whole issue that we started raising last week, which is about the rumours.
Yeah,
that you've been
course.
Facing at work.
Yeah, we did touch on that in the last episode and we promised to reveal more.
Yes. And what we should have done is, while they were there, asked for advice and got that and recorded it.
And actually, we did have some in-depth conversations, but we just didn't record them.
So what we actually did is phone them up on Skype once they returned and recorded a special segment just for you. Well, not just for you.
Well, no, not just
no.
for me.
Are you nodding your head like I'm going to play the music? You thought I was where
I was
it started.
Thinking, wow, he's got this all sorted out. There's some music happening and yeah.
Do, 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 do. This is a special feature. With
Although
from swinging
it's probably
down under.
A really good thing that we did not record any episodes together on that crazy weekend, because it probably wouldn't have made any sense.
Well, it probably wouldn't have done. We rarely make any sense.
It would have been like interspersed with like random Harry Potter spells here and there.
Yes.
Followed by me on a loop. Where's my earring?
Well, okay. All right. Before we go any further then.
Yes.
Axios special feature. Welcome to the Bedhoppers podcast. My name's Mr. H. Over here with me is Mrs. H. She's not allowed a voice because we're keeping her in chat today. Yeah, she's day drinking. We have some special guests with us. Special guests, reveal thyselves.
We're pretty special.
Well, you're certainly special.
Yeah. C, D, you know.
C, D, swinging down under.
Deal.
Kate and Daryl.
Yeah.
Occasionally we wear pants while we're being interviewed.
Happy
Sometimes
to be here.
They do.
I have a delightful bra on. Would anyone like to see?
Yes,
yes
we would.
Yes, please. Okay. Lovely.
So this bra is like a half-cut bra, but the lace on the bra, kind of, you could like have it here or like hide the nipple. So you can like show the nipple or hide the nipple.
Why are you only just showing us this now, an hour and a half into this day?
It's
session?
Delightful. So it's got like roses and it's red. And then so the lace kind of does nipple or not nipple. So it's like a half cup, but nipple, not nipple. You see?
I think I would appreciate it a whole lot more if you took it off and then put it back on again, just so I could have the comparison.
I'm just saying it's delightful. It's a half cup bra, but also hide nipple, show nipple. I mean, I'm just saying it's good.
It's beautiful. I'm not wearing one at all, so... There we go.
Mm-hmm. So
me too.
Neither's
I'm not wearing one either. Either. Yeah. Some people tell me I should use one, but you know, fuck them.
Literally.
Fuck
well,
them.
Well, no,
their
not
their
if they say mean
bras.
Things. If they say mean things, no.
Happy to be here, though. What are we talking about, Mr. H?
Well,
surely you've got
you.
Some sort of like amazing topic for us to cover tonight. Yes.
You'd hope so, but apparently not. So today what we're talking about is around Mrs. H has been, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, has been in work and she's heard rumours about us being in the lifestyle.
Yes.
And it's cropped up quite a bit lately. So Mrs. H, give us a steer on what's been going on.
All right. So the steer is, I've had this job for quite a few years now. And of recent times there has been a little rumour mill floating around that I may be a dirty swinger.
And how have you found that out?
It came to me third hand via some
third hand
some trusted individuals.
there was at least three hands involved.
Many hands do make light work.
Yeah, it's true.
And empty ball sacks.
Oh, there was no ball sacks mentioned in this rumour mill.
Okay.
However,
sorry.
There has been some circulatory conversation that I may be a dirty swinger.
And is this true?
What, I'm a dirty swinger?
Yeah.
I prefer not to use this terminology.
The dirty bit or the swinger bit?
Well, okay.
I'm a very clean swinger. I shower two times a day.
There you go. I mean, just even the terminology of swinger makes me like shudder a little bit.
I don't know, if I'm going to be a swinger, I might as well be a dirty
might
one, though.
Might as well be a dirty one.
Filthy, filthy swinger.
And, you know, the bowl that we put our keys in is going to be filthy as well.
No,
well,
I
mean, we just established that Kate hasn't cleaned a vibrator in the last 6 months.
Well,
so,
I'd say that your bowl is dusty, but you sleep with that many people that there's no dust that can be gathered because you're constantly getting keys in and out of the bowl because you're such a slut. So I don't
Right.
know.
I'm literally the whore of Babylon.
Well, so to be fair, Kate, you've been to a house and you've used our bowls, and were they dusty?
Yeah.
Not a single one, no.
Look, I plead the fifth. I would rather not confirm nor deny that there were some dusty bowls in the bedhopper's abode.
Thank you. And we now call Yoko to the stand. So with this rumour going on, I think what we've tussled and thought over the concept of, do we come clean? Do we just put it out there that we are in the lifestyle and are indeed dirty, dirty swingers or just swingers?
So I went through a range of emotions that day when I came home and I'd heard these rumours. And at first I said nothing to you. And you figured out pretty quickly that there was something on my mind. And when I eventually revealed to you that there'd been some rumours circulating and I was a little bit frazzled by that, my instinct had originally been to go in guns blazing and correct people on their misconceptions and make it a more truthful version of events.
Is this why you made me print 150 business cards?
But then I calmed down. I'm not necessarily... I don't want to be coerced into revealing what I do and what I enjoy in my private life, because that's my private life. But equally, I don't want there to be a version of reality out there which is distorted and bears no resemblance at all to what we do.
Your reaction was interesting, because your reaction to come home, one, and obviously not tell Mr. H kind of immediately what was going on is interesting. But I think the actual fact that your immediate reaction, like your visceral, your emotional reaction was, I'm going to set these people straight, right? I mean, I want to take away the word swinger.
I think you should have just finger blasted them all. No,
I'm going to keep finger blasting and moving
just
forward.
I know what I'm doing.
To get in the way.
No, I think it's quite interesting, because a lot of people, if they had this situation, and we've had it happen to us, is that My initial reaction is like, shut shit down, like shut our profiles down, for you guys, take the podcast offline, take the website offline, do the whole bit. Your reaction initially was, I want to correct these people, rather than I want to hide who I am. And then later your more logical, educated response was actually, let's see how it plays out. So I think that's actually quite interesting that you didn't go to that initial phase of, I'm ashamed of who I am, and therefore I'm going to shut stuff down. You actually went to a, hold on, this is not wrong, and actually you're wrong by your perhaps misconceptions, and therefore I should educate you. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, I completely agree. My reaction was not one of, oh my God, I better not do it. It was, you're wrong. This is not the stereotype that I conform to, and actually I'd like to correct you. Because I don't want to be ashamed of what I do, because it makes me happy, and and we're practicing non-monogamy in our own lives within our own boundaries of our own marriage, and we're happy. We're not hurting anybody. So it annoyed me that someone would kind of like rock that foundation for me. Does that make sense?
And plus, you know, it was always nice to go, hey, if you need to find out more about it, we know a good couple of shows that you could listen to, including our own and our friends in Australia.
No, my reaction was not to kind of withdraw completely and say, oh my God, I better not do that then. I don't want to stop what we do because we enjoy that.
Did you immediately break down to speak and go home?
I literally did, yes.
Speak.
Well, I mean, it's interesting though, like Mr. H, if you were in obviously Mrs. H's shoes, what would your reaction have been? Like, if that situation had turned on its head, would you have like immediately gone and said, okay, shut down Fab Swingers, which by the way, Fab Swingers actually has a button that you can literally deactivate everything, which
you
is
can, yeah.
awesome
DEFCON 5. Yeah.
Yeah, DEFCON 5. You know, and take everything offline until you've had that chance to evaluate. You know, I see that that would probably be your personality. I mean, is that the way you would go?
I'd be more interested in telling the truth, actually. I think if someone approached me and had a genuine question, I'd probably be quite honest with them and probably give them a 45-minute sort of lecture on the journey, because no conversation with me is ever short. But I think, you know, it's quite an interesting one. I don't think it would impact my job so much, so I'd probably be a little bit more open, a little bit more able to chat through it. And I don't think I'd shut stuff down. I think, and this is a weird one, because we do the show, I'm immensely proud of the show, and I kind of think, well, I'd want to defend it and make sure that actually it was okay and justify some of the stuff a little bit.
Well, I think the difference is, though, you just said if somebody approached you. I think the problem here is that, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've heard people talking about you through a third party, right? Like, you haven't had anyone walk up to you and say, Mrs. No. H, you're a swinger, and then you've had that opportunity to kind of like one-on-one say, yes, in a term I am, but this is what I classify myself as, and these are the reasons why. I think that's the bigger picture. That's the problem, right?
Yeah, you're right. No one's had the balls to actually come to me and say, this is what I know, can you tell me? And I would actually probably sit them down and give them my version of reality and damage control that.
And when you had that opportunity, like one-on-one to just have that, yeah.
Yeah, but to have the rumours come to me third hand and then, you know, I kind of digest that and think, well, hang on a minute, I'm not happy that this is this kind of false reality is circulating and I don't have the opportunity to control the message that lands with people. That's what probably bothers me most.
I think there is, I mean, we all know that there's a risk involved with lifestyle and that there's a potential chance for people to find out that you're in that and that you're doing various things. And, you know, you hope it doesn't necessarily happen, but there has to be a calculated thing that, you know, you could run into someone that you know, you could, and they could tell somebody else, or they could find you on a site, or they could find you on God knows however many apps or whatever. So you kind of do have in the back of your mind that this could be something that happens.
It's a calculated risk that you take, I think, when you enter the lifestyle, because you protect your anonymity, because ultimately you have a vested interest in being professional and not wanting to kind of have people make assumptions about you. But equally, I'm genuinely not ashamed of what I do. I'm really not. And the more I've gone through this lifestyle and then I've met such amazing people and friends, I don't want to kind of have this horrible, dirty stereotype attached to it. It annoys me that people still make that assumption.
That's true. And I think, to be fair, we've had such a good experience overall that it's been a real positive thing in our home life and our relationship that really hiding from it doesn't feel quite like the right thing to do. What about you guys? How have you felt about the whole situation? How much?
Well, I mean, it's actually, I've been sitting back here just listening for a second, which is highly unlike me, I might add, because Kate has forgotten that we just had a little incident ourselves just recently.
Well, that's why I'm asking so many questions. I think Mrs. H has got it spot on, is the fact that, and Mr. H, you touched on it as well, is it's the difference of control versus not control. You know, when people are talking rumours about you, it's more difficult to then figure out how tactfully you're going to approach that.
I just need
to
correct her here, because it's the illusion of control.
Well, because, that's also true.
Because when you're on this limit of, this limit in terms of people's understanding, or any limit of people's understanding or experience, they tend to make shit up anyway. That's kind of part and parcel of it, right? So that's what's going to happen. So it's always an illusion of control. It's just your ability to at least explain part of it that I think you would like. But they're still going to make shit up after that. Even if somebody shirt fronted you and said, you know, tell me about this dirty swingers lifestyle, and you then, you know, set them right. Set them right in your best possible way.
Right.
They're still going to make shit up.
Salacious gossip element, don't they? And they want to make it into what they have
drama
in their head, which is drama and salaciousness. Yeah. And when you give them the actual reality, it's like, oh, that's nowhere near as dodgy as I had in my head.
I'm curious though, is shirt fronting it similar to shirt cocking it?
Interesting question.
No, shirt cocking is something that's very important in our relationship.
It is outlawed in our household.
To keep,
I think we have seen shirt cocking on occasion.
Shirt cocking with socks on, business socks, is like the worst of all of the shirt cocking, I have to say. Like a business shirt cocking with business socks.
But how else
you
would you know that it's
socks?
Business time?
Whoa.
Yeah, business time.
How else would you know it was business time if I didn't have
you
my
could
business
upgrade
socks
it and wear sandals with the socks?
No! That's never
that would
acceptable.
Be,
Crockett.
That would be no. British shirt cocking,
I'm sorry, is that a phone
shirt
call from
crocking
my divorce lawyer? Sorry, one second, I'll just answer that.
British
We've
shirt
We've coined a new phrase,
cocking.
Shirt crocking.
Shirt no. crocking. Oh, my God. Yes.
You're welcome.
That has been noted.
Hashtag shirt crocking. You're right, Dee, absolutely it is.
Shirt
stocking. About...
Oh, my God.
Please send us your shirt crocking pictures
and shirt socking.
CND at swingingdownunder.com.
No. Yeah, don't send it to us.
Send them to there because that's fine. I don't get any of those.
Yeah, you're right, though. I think it is. You're right. It is a perception of a level of control, which we don't really have. But I think there's a vast difference in someone coming to you and saying, I think that you are XYZ, and you mm-hmm. being able to approach that person one-on-one and have a very frank, open conversation versus...
Who's Frank?
He's the guy upstairs chained in the bedroom. versus, you know, people talking and then you hear...
I thought that was Steve.
Oh, Steve's in the spare bedroom.
Okay, sorry.
That's where you guys are staying in a couple of weeks. It's okay, though. I'll clean it up, I promise.
Wait, is Steve okay? We're going to save Steve, right?
We'll just clear Steve out. The, get rid of the fecal matter that he's thrown against the walls.
You're right, though. We did have a bit of a scare.
Not a bit of a scare. You fucking shat yourself.
I did have a bit of a moment.
This is hilarious. So my niece-in-law, I don't know what you call it.
Oh, I thought you talked about the business scare recently. We've had two in like a matter of a month, right?
Yeah. Okay. So my nephew's partner, long-term partner, had... stumbled across our Instagram account, which has photos of Kate pseudo naked. For anyone out there who would like to see Kate pseudo naked, Instagram. Yeah. I think it's Swinging Down Under, something like that. Insta Down Under. And you can see that she was looking at it.
So I uploaded a story, and when you upload a story on Instagram, you can see who's viewed that story. And I was trying to add a response to somebody, and so I was branching out, and she was the third person down that had viewed this story. And so immediately I screen printed it, sent it to Dee, and I said, I want you to know that you're...
not what you said. You said, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Well,
should I fucking block her? Should I block her? What am I going to do?
I did actually say, should I block her?
I'm in the middle of a meeting. I've got 15 fucking phone calls on my phone. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? Oh, I'm freaking out. We should block her. Oh. And I said, let me just send him a text message and ask him whether they're interested and make sure that everything's okay.
So that's
what
you did.
Which I did, and the response was, "No, we're not interested. We just saw it on Instagram, and we had a look as a laugh, and we then figured out it was you guys."
I do think,
I'm
though,
like,
it
sweet
is,
as bro, how's the go karting? He's like, go karting is good.
It is vastly different, though, in a business situation versus that. No.
Well, I think a lot of people would be more concerned about their family finding out than their...
That's true. Are you more concerned about your family or your business colleagues finding out?
I'm actually more concerned about my business colleagues.
So the family pretty much know. I think there's very few family members left, so your parents don't know.
Correct.
And I think they're so...
I'll just flick them a quick text message now.
Yeah, what's their name on Facebook?
Well, we should have introduced you to them while you were here. You could have just given them the download. It would have been much easier.
Without
Hi, where's their girlfriend and boyfriend from Singapore? How you doing?
I would have just laid a big kiss on Mrs. H while we were there, feeling Lovely. Her up at the same time.
Would you have finger blasted her at the same time? Because I think that would have been important.
What?
He did not have his finger doms on him, so probably not.
Oh, my God.
So, your parents don't know. My father doesn't know. But I think everyone else, the kids, my sister.
It's the work perspective that bothers me most. It really is. Because that's potentially a much bigger audience that I'm impacting in terms of damage control. And also there's an obvious connection there with, you know, professional reputation and integrity and all the other things that kind of worry you about that.
Maybe. I mean, I've got a big event next week, right?
For just work. Reveal it.
Maybe I just like, that's the intro show. And now Mr. H from the Bedhoppers,
oh
everybody,
my
yeah,
God.
Woo! Yeah. In my head it sounds much more like the Muppets. But oh yeah, everybody.
Yeah. Don't worry. If we come, we'll be the two old dudes at the top.
More than just that, yes.
Yeah. We'll just totally be going, this is used to be better.
Mm-hmm. Side note, you want that canned laughter now, don't you, Mr. H?
I do.
This is your dream.
It's the only real laughter I can take. I'm not going to get any proper stuff.
This is your dream at your event will reveal.
My dream is that I'm a Muppet on a stage show. Really, that's about the lifestyle. Yes.
Hang on. Does that mean that you need somebody's hand all the way up into the back of your...
Oh, my God. I'll work you like a glove puppet.
I'm not sure if he's telling a joke or making me an offer. I'm not quite...
Little from column A, little from column B.
I think business-wise, you're absolutely right about the whole, I guess, so your business and you know, feel free not to share, but my last job was about, I had a morality clause. Like I would absolutely have lost my job. No doubt about it. You know, some people out there in the world, they need that, you know, they can't come out because they literally have their job and their livelihood riding on it. Your company and your the way that you're set up, like, would you lose your job? Is it, or is it just more about that, you know, respect level, about possible promotion in the future, you know, about that kind of your ability to you know, have
retain my reputation. So yeah. Okay. So the honest answer is I don't know. Actually, yet, and it's something I'm.
Well,
going
you don't
to...
have a morality clause, though.
As far as I know, there's no morality.
I've never
clause.
Heard of a morality clause.
No, I don't know if anything is.
However... I'm encouraged to have no morals.
And in the UK, is that protected under any kind of like act? You know, like Daryl, what is the
like GDPR, which is like the data protection principles? Yeah. So protected characteristics. So, for example, if I identify as bisexual. And mm-hmm. I tell my employer that because I'm identifying as bisexual and actually what you're doing is making my bisexuality into a derogatory thing and it's a protected characteristic, then maybe that's something that could be used.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So, but the whole thing just makes me really uncomfortable.
Almost as uncomfortable as that hand up my ass working me like a puppet.
Especially my hand. I've got big hands.
You
small
really
wrists,
do.
Though. Small wrists, though. So, you know, once you get the hand in, it's all good.
Wife, can you take a note in your diary? Lube.
My handwritten notes.
Lube,
yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have small hands but long nails, so you don't want that, though.
No,
either.
I don't.
No.
neither do you. Neither do you want to withdraw with those nails. I mean, you don't want to see what's under those after that.
So
not
my dilemma.
Very well now.
My dilemma at the moment, I suppose, is. Part of me really, really wanted to just go in there and set the record straight because I thought, you know what, it's out there now. I might as well just address it and just kind of like have it out because I'm fed up of a cloak and dagger routine where I'm constantly creeping around and worrying about who's going to find me.
Hang on, I've had a cunning plan.
You have?
Bedhopper's tour bus.
Oh,
we can rock up to different locations and preach. It'll be fucking brilliant. It'd be like the Radio 1 show back in 1984. Everyone gets
what
a free wristband.
What could possibly go wrong?
A free wristband?
Yeah,
what,
yeah,
we're
free
giving
wristband.
Shit away again?
Yeah, we're giving shit away. Be more merch, because I love some merch. And we can just talk about the lifestyle and how fucked up we've managed to make our journey. And it is. It'd be amazing. No one's ever been this clever.
Mm-hmm. No? Okay. Fine. So there's part of me that really wants to just reveal who I am and what I do, just purely because it's tiring having this constant subterfuge. But equally, I don't want to do it for the sake of it because, as Mr. H has said, don't just knee-jerk for the sake of it.
So
there's
what's
no
your,
need to.
But what's your line on it? Do you want to be able to go into the office on a Monday morning and when someone goes, how was your weekend, for you to go, I sucked off about 42 cops this weekend. It's a low number for Mrs. H.
It was a quiet weekend.
I was about to say,
is
she scaling back?
Yeah.
It's a quiet weekend.
Back. I'm scaling back, yeah.
Do you want to be able to say that? Or do you want to be able to say, yeah, we had some naughty fun? Or is it that you just want to go, all right, fine?
I just don't like people talking shit about me, is essentially, and getting the wrong impression.
But
the wrong impression?
Well,
the wrong impression
or the right impression?
No, the wrong impression. I don't like the connotation that people assume that swinging is a dirty activity.
That sounds like you're trying to then, or what you ideally would want is you're trying to protect the community then. Because I mean,
yeah.
You could absolutely slink away and say, nope, not me, don't know what you're talking about. Or you could go in there guns blazing, as you say. But what it sounds like you're trying to do is actually educate people on the reality of the lifestyle. And that, to me, sounds like it's a broader community positivity as opposed, you know, you're trying to be that face of like, actually, it's quite normal. I'm not ashamed. Therefore, if you ever stumble upon anybody else in the future who you think is in the lifestyle, equally, they shouldn't be ashamed and you shouldn't
treat
judge
them respectfully.
That's,
100%. Yeah. What my instant reaction was one of, no, this is you've got the wrong end of the stick. This is not what we do. This is not, I don't like this connotation that it has this dodgy stereotype associated with it. That's what annoys me most. Not the fact that someone's talking shit about me and wants to make an assumption. That's fine. But the fact that they've made an incorrect assumption is really annoyed me.
Yeah, so I guess, Mr. H, when you just said, like, why do you want to do that? Again, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like what you're trying to do is set people on the right course and trying to do your best to actually inform people on what the lifestyle's about.
I think there's definitely a level of that. I think for me, I think that our experience has been universally positive with a few missteps along the way. And the friends that we've made and the experience we've had have been fantastic. And our relationship has really never been stronger.
Yeah.
So when someone actually says something about it, I kind of do want to correct them and say, well, actually, this is a pretty good thing. But and I think...
We're not trying to indoctrinate you into a cult. We're just trying to tell you that we're happy.
One of us. One of us. But I think there is a reality to it, though. So if someone's talking about you specifically, it's quite easy to go, all right, let's have a chat about it and deal with it. If someone's talking about the lifestyle, actually... Do you step in or do you step away? And I think that's a tricky balance at work because, you know, the concept of a dirty swinger or someone on a site looking for hookups and whatever, that comes up a lot at work for some strange reason. Maybe it's just because I'm in that work environment, but that happens almost every week. And sometimes I kind of step in and I'm like, no, it's just people exploring stuff and it's fine. Mm-hmm. Other times I'm like, I don't want to touch with the barge pole because... Actually, the reality is that it's just going to drag us in.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spend my entire work life arguing over it. So there is a, you know, it's an effort thing. How much do you want to invest in talking about how great this is versus how prepared people are to listen? So if, I am a bit torn over that approach. But at the same time, I feel... like this lifestyle has given us so much that I actually want to talk about it a whole lot more. And so much that I made a podcast and then we talk about it every other week or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, that torn feeling is coming from that glove puppet thing we were talking about earlier. But
no, that torn feeling is me and Daryl the other day.
You just, it's like everything else in life to me. You have to pick your battles, right?
We can all
be advocates at the right time. But that doesn't mean we have to be advocates all the time.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Because we all have other things going on in our lives. And I mean, I had a number of occasions like you, Mr. H, where somebody brought it up at work, you know, swingers, and it wasn't derogatory, but it was just misinformed.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they were. That's how they were discussing, just sort of misinformed. So with that in mind, I never really feel a need to address that. You know, misinformation is not a good thing as long as it's out there. But let's be fair, we're all misinformed about everything because we're taking only the representations that we've seen from the media or from, you know, everything that Google has tuned to us as well. So it's always very hard to find an equal outcome without having a pseudo profile that you've set up that is the exact opposite of you as well, you know. So I think just it's a battle pick. Some people are when people say derogatory things, I think I'll step in and have a shot at them or remind them of the fact that there's somebody in the room who fits into that group.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas and you know, 9 times out of 10 I think people will actually shy away from that very quickly because nobody,
especially with an informed response, right? Like a non-emotional...
Humans are just very, very bad at confrontation in general. So if you draw somebody into that where they are at the point of confrontation, they'll step back from it. The point from there on in, though, is to not continue with the confrontation but to continue with the education and to actually help them understand that it's important that they don't see everybody through a single lens. You know, there's a lot of people out there in a lot of different lifestyles, whether it be homosexual, you know, heterosexual or anything in the spectrum in between or the spectrum out of that, you know. So without the education, people generally fall into humor as the first response to the lack of education. And that's unfortunate, but it is what it is. You know, it's just human nature.
But people love gossip as well, don't they? You know, and if that gossip has a sexual nature to it, then they're going to be much more interested. And, you know, we've all done that and stood around what I assume to be a water cooler for you guys or other people.
Oh, my God, did you know? Did you hear
the kettle for us? Yeah,
and I know.
It's natural to have that, oh, you heard about that? Oh, and they're sleeping with them and they're doing this and they're nudists or whatever it might be. It's like... Oh my God.
Interestingly, I myself heard a rumor about somebody completely different going back about 4 weeks in my workplace again, which seems to be a hotbed of iniquity.
where someone said, oh my goodness, I think my sister-in-law might be a swinger. And I felt like saying, well, so? What? And at what point are you going to kind of like
so FYI,
in an adult way?
That makes your brother also a swinger.
Unless he doesn't know. It's not ethical.
What you should have done, Mrs. sister-in-law, is are they hot? That was, should have been the first question. Are they hot? Here's a card. Don't you know that we have a world-famous podcast?
With my quill and my notebook.
Send them our way. We'll have a look and see what we think.
Yeah, we'll vet them.
Yeah. But you know what? It's funny that you say that, though, because like even within the lifestyle, you know, you're talking about like somebody saying, oh, my God, did you see who that person slept with? Or, you know, you were joking before about taking so many dicks in a weekend. Even within the lifestyle, we have that. And I think it's important to remember that the lifestyle is just... It's just a grouping of people that come together because they have similar interests, but we still have the entire spectrum of humans. Pardon?
We like dicks.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We have the entire human spectrum on that.
Pussies or finger blasts.
Well, wait. And pussy.
And pussy.
And pussies and finger blasting.
It's so very brave of you. It was really brave of me. And pussy.
Oh, she said pussy again.
I know,
you still have people that are going to judge. You still have people that are angry. You still have people that are drama. You still have people that are lovely. And I think, you know, that's important to note too. Like we're not faultless being in a lifestyle. Like we still have some of that drama. Oh, I saw your halo. I polished your halo and put it on the bedside table, babe.
No, it's always with me, my halo. That's somebody else's halo that they've lost.
Oh, okay.
Probably one of the dirty swingers that we've had in our bedroom.
I think you've still got one of our earrings as well.
Wait, where's my earring?
Should I ask why the bed's wet?
Oh, dear.
Oh, self-referential things in a podcast. This is good.
Well. You live and learn, don't you?
Really?
But yeah, I think it is, you know, it is important to remember that I guess even within our own tribe, a lot of us are also misinformed or perhaps have that drama bone or judgment bone or whatever as well. So, yeah, I get it.
I have a boner bone.
You do have a boner bone. You know, sometimes, yes, you do want to correct people.
Maybe. Wait, could you stand up real quick, please?
No, I can't. I'm not wearing shorts and I've got my Crocs on, so I don't want to be shirt crocking it.
Please shirt croc right now.
What other sorts of bones are there, Kate? Please tell us.
No.
The ankle bone's connected to the huge cock bone.
I'm playing this game.
I've actually really enjoyed how Kate's been trying to keep the conversation, you know, somewhere near topic. But has not been doing great.
She has done so well.
It's like herding chickens that are eating cats. Or maybe the other way around.
I don't feel like chickens eat cats, babe.
Occasionally. So there's some badass fucking chickens out there. It's true.
Wait, no, cats eat chickens, not the other way around.
Depends.
Even
sometimes
I know
the, sometimes
so
the
there you
co-
go.
Sometimes
there you go,
the
being
cock
judgmental
eats the pussy.
Again.
I saw this one chicken again. This one time. He was like, you lift, bro?
I'm fairly sure cats eat chickens.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Is this one of your made
I don't
up
need to Google
head?
It. I'm fairly sure cats eat chickens.
Okay, fine.
How do you Google in your notepad though? Do you just write into like a little search box, a little Google box on your notepad?
No, she goes to a library, my friend.
Yes, libraries still exist.
They do still.
I like libraries.
You love libraries.
I'm going to go there next week.
That's very nice of you. Mm-hmm. That's good.
I wonder how they're going to store all the porn from the future in the libraries. You know, like there's a lot of porn out there. How are you going to imagine all the microfish? You're just digging through micro, digging through microfish for porn.
I love microfish.
So I can imagine Mrs. H spending a good day looking at microfish porn.
There's such a thing. That's very niche, isn't it?
Very micro niche.
Micro niche.
I feel like I'm going to Google that right now, actually.
Oh, my God. I love how we've coined shirt crocking and micro niche.
If we achieve nothing else today, and there's a good chance we probably won't, then I think we're on track. However, of course, the broader conversation was around being out and open within the lifestyle.
Yes, absolutely.
So you guys have your photos out there.
Yes.
You have your names out there now. Has life changed for you?
You
since
are very
that happened?
Out and open now.
We are. So that was a decision that has been 12 months in the making. You know, a lot of people asked us how we kind of came to that conclusion. And honestly, 12 months ago, kind of like similar to what you were saying before, Mrs. H, we just decided we were kind of a little bit sick of having a veil over ourselves. And I personally, because it was very much my job that was causing us to require that level of anonymity. And so 12 months ago, we set out on a path to remove that. And that's one of the reasons actually why I had quit my job just recently, was because I did have a morality clause. And every day that I went to work, I kind of, not that I would walk into work and say, good morning, I'm a swinger and I suck this many cocks on the weekend, hello, and birds would come flying in. But it wasn't that I wanted to come out and sing that and kind of be, you know, out that way, but I wanted to feel a level of I'm okay and I'm walking in and it's fine. And so that was one of the reasons why we made the decision to quit my job, to come out, was because I was a little bit sick and tired of just pretending, I guess. So I don't want to come out and say, you know, I'm this, I'm that, but I didn't want to pretend. And so the boobs are out, everybody. They're being cupped. So we decided to come out, and we did that in a very Kate and Daryl way, I would say. We just dropped our names. And
what do you mean? We've been dropping our names for, yeah, for years.
Episodes 1 through 10, you'll see we dropped our names. But, you know, since then, I think it's been well received by the community, in that we really actually haven't had any feedback about it. You know, we've had a few people maybe say, that's cool that we can now see your faces, but really not a lot. And actually,
it's been a lot of disappointment.
But I think yes, there's been that situation with Daryl's niece-in-law, and there's been a slight work situation where one of our photos was circulated, which didn't have our heads in it. But yes, people could absolutely find out. I think we're at the stage now where I'm not employed anymore in that sense, and I just think we just want to kind of say fuck it and kind of let our chips fall where they may. Because at the end of the day, even if the shit hits the fan, we have each other, and we can always get through whatever anything throws at us. And so we want to be not necessarily out there and on like mainstream media and on like talk shows and on like morning TV, but we definitely want to at least try to do our best to be ourselves.
I guarantee within the next 12 months that Kate will have us on some fucking morning show talk TV, and I'll have to bring this conversation up because it'll be like, no. You know, 12 months ago we were like, still in the pseudo closet non-talk show era.
I will say, though, I think that I do have a little bit of a false coming out in terms of being with our tribe, because what we realized recently with that whole work text message and a photo of us being circulated was that I realized we are like nothing happened. You know, we didn't have any backlash. And so we've been sitting under this like months and months of like nothing happened. Isn't that amazing? But within our tribe, you know, on Twitter, on our podcast, on Instagram, you know, with people.
Nobody speaks back to us on our podcast.
Nobody speaks back to us on the podcast. Yeah. But, you know, no.
It's totally a one-way thing.
It is. No backlash. And I think that kind of made me probably get into a sense of security that doesn't really exist. Because what I need to really understand is that within our tribe, absolutely we're accepted and people understand it and people accept you for whatever end of the spectrum of alternate lifestyle you're on. But when people out there mainstream get a hold of this, again, to your point, Mrs. H, they've got complete misconceptions, and I think that's the thing that I really struggle with. And I'm worried about, again, how that would be perceived if that gets out there, because I think that there is a very different understanding of females versus males, and
Yeah, I think you're right. It's the damage that can be done by someone having an incorrect interpretation of what you do is really, that's what makes me feel really unhappy more than anything.
Well, I think there is also something within that sort of false false bravado where you kind of, because nothing negative happens, you just carry on trucking. Mm. And I think the risk is that you carry on trucking until something bad does happen. So you're kind of like, hey, we've gotten away with it, it's fine, everyone's cool, everyone's all right. And then something at some point feels like it should happen, like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Where it's going to challenge you.
It's like that sword of Damocles, isn't it, over you a little bit. I'd almost rather people talked about me accurately and then at least I could say, well, okay, yeah, that's legit. you're right. If someone came to me and said, is this the case? I'm like, yeah, you got me. But to come to me and or to hear third hand, oh, I hear that you go to like sex parties and this and you're
well, I mean, if you can give like, me sort of a your internal email address, I'll just send some photos and some video and, you know, everybody will understand what the caper is.
Mm.
But there's only so many pictures Mrs. H's office will have of me wanking.
Before the spam filter picks it all up.
Yeah, I mean, it'll pick it up pretty quickly.
You know what? I think from this, I just get an overwhelming urge of wanting to educate and just not, as I said, to kind of indoctrinate people into a kind of cult-like lifestyle, but just to educate them that this is just an extension of a sex life. It doesn't mean that you're hurting someone or you're being immoral. It just means that you are enjoying whatever you choose to do, you know, within the boundaries of your marriage safely. And it just annoys me that people feel that that's that is a cause for having some centre of gossip.
But I think, you know, if you look at gossip, and I said this before, if someone has something interesting to talk about, you're going to want to know. Like, if someone's sleeping with someone else, do you want to know or do you want to avoid it? Your chances are you're going to go, oh, that sounds interesting. Oh, Jim from accountancy fucked a dog the other day. Are you going to want to know about it or are you not?
Depends on the dog.
Yeah,
it really does depend on the dog.
Fucking Yoko slutting it up all over the place. That's terrible. But you're going to want to know.
Salacious bestiality news is not top of my list at the water cooler. Just quietly.
But if someone said, hey, did you hear about that guy that was doing this? You'd be like, what? All right, I want to know. Because it's interesting and it's life and it's human. Yeah. And you kind of go, oh, I'd listen to that. Well, I would anyway. But by its very nature, you kind of assume that people are judging you by the fact that they're having the conversation about how it's framed.
I don't like the fact people judge me incorrectly.
Yeah, I get that.
I don't like being judged fairly for, you know, I'm quite culpable if that's kind of like I've done something and someone wants to judge me, or, you know, rightly or wrongly in my own eyes for that thing, fine. But judging me unfairly, like, dude, come on, I haven't given you
a blowjob. Full
picture. That's not fair. It's just...
And I think that's probably one of the things that you're going to struggle with too, because even after you perhaps explain to somebody, they may choose to judge you unfairly. You know, they may still take what information you've given them. And I think that's just the skating up an ice hill, isn't it? Like, we can't control the way that people choose to accept us or not accept us.
You're right. It's not like any groups, whether they be female or minorities, have ever been, you know, or still are treated differently because of the color of their skin or the fact that they own a vagina, you know. Yeah. Jeez.
But
it's almost unheard of.
I do think then, and I would love to get this point across, that one of the things about us trying to normalize our lifestyle is that we, you know, need to make sure that when we are responding to people when this sort of stuff happens, that we don't go off on the dramatized scandal situation, that we don't do exactly what it is that they think we are, which is that we're perhaps uneducated or you know, don't understand or, you know, these sorts of things. I think we need to come at it from a very calm, very logical, very educated perspective, because I think that as a community, when we fly off the handle, when somebody accuses us of this, it affects the rest of us. And I think that's really important to...
Well, it doesn't work well for me.
It doesn't work well for you?
No.
Why is that?
Because I'm just going to tell them to fuck off and mind their own mind their own business. I mean, it's a sex life. I think, I can't remember the movie that it's in, but it's a really good response. When somebody asks about somebody's sex life, their response is to question the other person's sex life. You know, I've heard that you've been sleeping with your secretary, I think is the response that this person gives. And he says, that's none of your, and he said, yeah, none of your fucking business. That's right. So, you know, it is none of your business. It's my private sex life.
It isn't. I mean, but we're not coming in there talking about
who. I just don't understand why we have to educate, though.
I think if we choose to, we should do it in a manner that's not low rent, is what I'm saying. Like, okay. In terms of, like, if we choose to try and take that battle, then we do so in a very logical, very calm, educated manner, as opposed to being exactly what they think we are, which is going to fly off the handle and get our point across and be really dramatized, because it just feeds that misconception.
So what we need is a lifestyle-based PowerPoint that we can whip out at a moment's notice and take people through if they have any questions.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm up for that.
Oh, my God. She actually took you seriously.
I know, she is.
Yeah, she's working on a PowerPoint right now beside you guys on Skype. There's like your heads have now been squished across so that she can work on PowerPoint.
I love it. I'll write it down, don't worry.
Yeah.
I have seen people, you know, that have been perhaps accused of, you know, being, you know, a swinger. And instead of tackling it from a very poised perspective, they've tackled it from the angle that they shouldn't, and it makes us all look bad. And that's, I guess, the thing that I'm worried about.
I think you're being pretty judgy there.
I mean,
yeah, this is something that, you know, when somebody draws you out about your sexuality, of any sexuality, whether it be swinger or anything else that's not considered mainstream, your reaction is probably going to be fairly visceral. And it's going to be visceral in one of two ways. You're either going to lash out,
mm-hmm.
or your response is going to be tempered but with an underlying education / hatred sort of, I just want to beat you with this.
So it's all bad. It's all bad.
I mean, there's a difference between educating people and beating them with an education stick. You know, having a PowerPoint that has a big finger in the middle of it is not the way to go. You know?
You've not seen my slides. There's no finger in the middle of mine.
Yeah, you know there'd be no fingering.
No. No, there wouldn't be. There would be definitely no fingering on any slides that you guys have put together. Especially none with banging as well.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I think it's very important that we keep the idea that it is our sex lives and our lives. And, you know, the only people I feel I would need to explain it to is my parents, because they've done the job to bring me up. And, you know, that they've invested a whole lot of time in making me the person that I am. And, you know, their concerns may be warranted just in the fact that they don't understand where I ended up given the input that they made. Outside of that, you know, it's yes, we can educate, but there's a whole lot of people out there that simply aren't interested in being educated.
No, I agree. I think there is a fine line between saying this is what I do and this is what makes me happy, and then giving someone a whole sort of diagram's worth of education. And so
we're not doing the PowerPoint.
Well, I
fucking
think
backflip, Jesus.
We go PowerPoint. On the PowerPoint.
No, wow. I think the PowerPoint is important.
Kate's six slides in at this point.
If it's more than six slides, then we've failed. It's slide one. What are the good points? A lot of sex, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... do we need more than
social
that?
Social
but it's
stuff.
But it's that, you know, how much do you reveal to people? And,
yeah.
You know, would you tell you... Would you go to your parents and reveal loads of detail, or is it just that actually broadly this is what you're doing, it makes you happy? Is that enough? And that's the thing. It's that balance of what you give people and balance of how you put it across. I wouldn't, like with my sister, and we've interviewed her on the podcast, would I go into the intimate details? No. Would I say, am I happy? Am I having fun and other adventures? Yes. And that's for me, that's the line. It's kind of actually I'm good. I'm all right. We're comfortable. We're good. Our relationship has never been better. Beyond that, does she really care?
No.
You know, and for me, that's the piece. But if people want to know more, sure, I can tell them, or I can just point them towards like 44 episodes of content, which describes it in fairly intimate detail.
So I think where I got to in the whole adventure really is, if someone actually had the balls to come to me and say, I've heard this rumour, this is what I've heard, can you confirm or deny? Can you give me, you know, is this true? And I think after talking to you, I decided that I would probably give them my version of reality.
Mr. H has the biggest fucking schlong you've ever seen. And it would be a travesty.
She said reality. She said reality.
In a controlled way. I would probably deliver them the message that I want to land in my controlled way. And I probably wouldn't say, nope, that's wrong, that's, you've heard some rumours. I probably wouldn't deny it because I don't want to flat out be accused of lying, and I don't want to lie.
Yeah, and I think that's
important.
But I
equally don't want to just go, oh my God, yes, you're right, I suck 50 dicks a week. That's just not what I'm about.
If you did 50, it would be a really successful... I mean, like, that would be really good.
No, I think I would do them the courtesy of giving them a controlled release of information and in my own way. Because I genuinely do not want to be ashamed of what I do and lie about it. Because that's the bit that really itches my shit most, lying about stuff. I don't want to have to do that.
Actually, when we've all talked about it, what really comes to me is that... comes to me.
Distraction. I love
you. Do you? It's very nice of you. Is that we all agree that some level of education is really important. I think that actually being honest about yourself and sort of being mindful about how much you reveal is really key as well. So I think, guys, is there anything that you'd like to add to that? Anything that you think is an important home run?
I think assess your situation, make a decision on what's right for you, and then go forward. Because, you know, the advice that we give, obviously, we don't have children, we don't need to think about that. So the advice coming from, you know, C&D sitting here in Singapore might be very different to somebody sitting elsewhere in the world who have young children. It may impact them or it may impact their job. So I think assess, decide where you're going to go with that, and then execute it. I mean, that's really the only thing you can do.
No. I have nothing else to add.
Okay.
I like the fact that you include the word execute, which sounds...
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say live long and prosper, but then I was like, slightly nerding out.
And then Jim told me to look like a shark and look left and look right. You must execute the moves that you have chosen carefully.
I was thinking like execute order...
execute order 66.
Yeah, so I was thinking
and
exactly
that.
And
your faith in your friends.
And then
is
I got
yours.
All sad because I was thinking about the massacres in Star Wars. And
so, what you won't necessarily know about
hang
Mrs.
On,
H.
Hang on, hang on. We just need to step back a little bit there. You were sad about the imaginary massacres that happened in Star Wars.
Imaginary.
Well, I was about to explain this, right?
I said I got sad about the massacres.
So. In the Revenge of the Sith, there is Order 66, which the Emperor executes. However, one of the Jedi's, the Ki-Adi Mundi,
yes.
If I'm going to be specific, looks like Mrs. H's dad.
And super nerdy.
Oh, he yeah, does.
It's got a dark turn here, but he looks like Mrs. H's dad. And she was crying in the cinema. I'm like, are you sad about all the Jedi dying? She's like, no, he just looked like my dad. So...
Yeah, screw the Jedi children.
Yeah,
like, it looks like my dad.
I don't know why her father has a cone head.
Look, I'm just saying, he reminds me of my dad.
Oh, sorry,
right.
It's the coney heady
yes,
thing.
The
he
dude.
Looks like your dad.
Yes,
with the white
with the
beard.
The white beard and the cone head. Yeah.
So your dad has a cone head?
No, he has a white beard.
Her,
anyway.
Her dad looks, he looks like a mad professor.
He is a mad professor.
So he's Gandalf.
Yeah.
What was I about to say?
Yeah.
Yes, he literally is the closest thing to Gandalf you will ever meet.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Or what's his name, the Grey?
Gandalf the Grey.
No,
anyway.
The other guy.
Mm-mm.
I'm pretty sure it was Gandalf the Grey,
yeah.
Sweetie.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
No, hang on. Which one's Gandalf
do you,
in?
Do you
he's
mean,
Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, do you mean Saruman the White?
There we go, that's him.
He does
that's
look a bit like
for.
Christopher Lee. There is a level of
yeah,
Christopher Lee-ness about
dad,
him.
Yeah, he looks like a lot of people like that. Yeah, anyway.
So, yes, he is a mad professor in the best sense. So Mrs. H was sobbing her eyes out at all the Jedi being slaughtered in the cinema.
So executing Order 66 then.
Yes. So outside of killing all the Jedi and
yeah.
ending the Star Wars prequel trilogy,
yeah.
What we've learned today... is to execute stuff,
mm-hmm.
is to think about it and to be very human.
Right.
That's what I've learned.
If I go into the office like next week and someone says, oh, yo, you're a dirty swinger.
Did they say yo?
They might do.
Are they stuck in like 94?
They might be.
Did they say cowabunga?
Did they, were they wearing like leg warmers
yeah,
at the
totally.
Time?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yo, you're a dirty
yeah.
swinger, yo.
And a thong on over the outside of their like
well,
their workout gear.
Let's not get silly here.
We can
that.
Update this for the 2000s. Yo, Mr. White, she really was
Don't
a filthy swinger.
Yeah.
What you weren't have seen, gentle listeners, is me doing the requisite finger action for yo and snapping my fingers as I did that.
I would like you to replicate that later.
What, the snapping of the fingers?
No.
Do you want some finger action later? It's what I'm reading from this, which is ultimately what this show is about.
What a misnomer.
Some light finger action with my wife. So
light finger action.
Yeah,
light,
yeah.
Not heavy.
Yeah. The it's not to get to the point of blasting.
Never go blasting,
master.
Followed with a conversation about why is the bed wet?
Yes, that's right. Why the bed's wet? Why? What?
It was all that blasting.
It was. Was there a level of finger blasting? I think ultimately what our next steps will be to answer honestly if someone asks about it.
Yeah.
And address it directly.
I'm not going to lie. Say,
no, you're not going to lie.
I can't lie.
We've established this. I cannot lie.
Sorry?
Take him for a coffee and just appeal to the fact that they're
what if
they're
don't like
human.
Coffee?
Then take him for a tea or an ice
tea?
Slushy or...
Take him for a finger blast.
Orange juice. I don't know.
A beverage.
Take him aside and just have a very human conversation and say to them, hey, this is my life. And actually, and at the end of it, just say, well, I'd really appreciate it if
I
you
I feel
didn't.
Like this wrap-up's going really poorly.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Great wrap-up. Good job. We know all of our points. Well done, everybody. Very succinct, honest points. Go see the blog. It's in 4 bullet points and you're done. Thank you very much.
I think, if anything, we were going to take them for these broken wings and learn to fly again if we were going to do anything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Learn to live so free.
Yeah. It'll be really nuts. But I like the way that you summarised all of the stuff really aggressively there. I particularly was...
There was a pretty aggressive wrap-up there, wasn't
I know. It's,
yeah,
it's, I know. It's, it, I mean, it was not aggressive finger blasting, which is a different tool and technique altogether. But
I feel obliged to go for like a coffee with her now.
If I learned anything today, it's not to piss Kate off.
Yeah, I'm pretty fucking scared.
Yeah, welcome to my life.
What'd you fucking say?
So, we hoped you enjoyed that special feature and this episode. In fact, we hope you enjoy all of our episodes, but particularly this one. Because you've just listened to it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be a bit shit if you didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, and if you didn't enjoy it, well, we're really sorry.
And we're not sure how you've made it this far.
Yes, you've done very well.
Yeah, well done.
Kudos. Have some bedhopper points. In fact, take 20 bedhopper points.
What? You'd have 20 bedhopper points?
Yeah, just for making it this far.
Wow.
I think that's pretty generous.
Wow. But no free coffees.
No, we're not giving away free coffees.
I think I've had to can that.
You've bankrupted us. Fortunately, shares in Costa and Starbucks have gone up, but bedhopper availability and money has gone significantly down.
And, yeah, I gave away too many caffeine-related beverages. I'm sorry.
You did. And you're also not prepared to make any either. So
no.
It's really a...
Transpires. It was a really empty gesture on my part.
It really was, yeah. Especially when you started thinking it through.
I'll just offer friend codes for Pokemon instead.
Friend codes. You are a poker slut, I tell you.
I have made some very good friends recently on Pokemon.
You don't even know the names. They're just, honestly, you just know that they send you presents every day.
I'm just going to say them. I get some great gifts, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm. Anyway. Don't be a Snorlax. Stop it.
Really?
Yes.
Fine. So, thank you very much to Kate and Daryl for taking part in the show,
yep.
Coming to see us, for treating us to so many nice things, for the sexy times.
Yeah.
And we cannot wait to see them when we go to Singapore.
Yeah.
That's going to be fucking amazing. No pressure, guys, but it better be fucking amazing.
Yeah, you might need to get some more wine.
What? Jesus Christ, dear. The last thing we need is more wine.
Yeah, or maybe it's more.
That's exactly the same thing.
No one's ever been this clever.
No, you haven't, that's for sure. So thank you very much, guys, for all your help and support on that. In terms of what's coming up, in our next show, I think we're going to be talking about Vanilla Alternative.
Ooh, a proper review.
Proper review, as my lover.
Need to do it justice.
We do need to do it justice. So we went back to Vanilla Alternative and met up with some listeners, which is fab. Yes, hello to you guys, to who I'm going to call Barney Stinson.
Ah.
They'll know who they are.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you think it's you and you're not too sure, then it's probably not you. But hello anyway. So we met some other people while we were there. That was really nice.
Yep.
So we're going to talk a bit about that. It was Lord Voldemort's birthday.
Yes, it was.
So we're hoping...
Much merriment.
Yeah, much merriment. To talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
And also, hopefully, fingers crossed, we might be able to get them on the show.
Nice.
If they're not too boring.
Oh, God. Wow.
Well, we asked them and they said yes, but we hope we're not too boring. So,
oh, they can never be boring.
No, they couldn't ever be boring. But
not with us, you know, to bounce on.
Well, we're pretty boring, so, you know. Did you say bounce around on?
No, I said bounce off.
I'm sure you said bounce around on.
You hear what you want to hear.
I say what I want to say as well. That's why I've got a podcast. Anyway, so that's what we've got vaguely coming up in the near future. By the time the next episode comes out, we will be in Singapore.
Australia?
No, I think we'll be in Singapore when it lands. But depending on when you listen.
Yes.
You know, so assuming we get our shit together and release it at the right time. So we'll do that. If you want to come along and meet us, as I said, go back at the start of the episode and listen to the address.
Great.
Fine, I'll read it out again. It's www.oursecretspot.com.au.
Nice.
And you can come and meet Mrs. H and I.
Yes.
And then if you want to, come along to this Pendulum X party thing, because that sounds like a right laugh. Come and do that. No, it sounds really hot. Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah. I'm excited.
You're excited?
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
I'm going to write some stuff down
there. Really? Okay, fine. That sounds like a good idea. Well, we're not going to do a funny thing at the end of the thing.
No.
Because I think we've probably wobbled on far too much. And
we talked a lot.
You got a lot of bedhopper value out of this episode.
Yeah, definitely.
And hopefully things have been coherent. But if not, then we are very sorry. Just go back and listen to another episode.
Just bear with.
Yeah, that's fine. It's just us. And there was some level of day drinking involved, so we can't be blamed for that.
Ah, the demon day drinking wipes you out.
It does wipe me out.
Takes you to like another dimension.
Although I'm starting to think it's actually because I was taking the wrong medication for like a week.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
No, probably doofus. Not. I'm still alive. I'm still kicking, which bodes well. So anyways, we'll see you all. And Mr. H, do that funky thing.
Well, thank you for hopping into our bed.